Good evening, everybody. Usually at Mass, I ask if we have any visitors, but I'm the visitor. So anyway, it's nice to be here. I'm Father Francis. I'm over at Sacred Heart. And I know a lot of you because many of you come to Mass there sometimes during the week. And so it's nice to be here. So anytime you want to come to Sacred Heart, you're always welcome. Okay. All right. When I lived here in Columbia many years ago, before I ever went to the seminary, sometimes I didn't belong to Newman, but sometimes I would come here to go to Mass every once in a while. And I remember coming a couple of times to the student Mass. And so this is amazing being here because, in the 90s, I was out there in the seats there. And so it's really neat being here celebrating Mass. What an honor. But I remember those times where I would come here to that student Mass. Every once in a while I would go to that. And I wasn't a student anymore at that point, but I would like to go to that. And one student Mass in particular really stands out. Now again, it was like the mid-90s or something like that, okay? So I remember they were all ready for Mass to start, and the music was about to begin, and I heard this sound. It was not a natural sound. And it got louder and louder, and it sounded like a helicopter or something. And as it got louder, I actually thought there was like a helicopter hovering over the church. And at a certain point, I realized it wasn't a helicopter, it was the keyboard making that sound. So I was really surprised. And then when the procession started, they actually had, now I don't know if they did this all the time, I didn't go to this Mass very often, but they started processing from this direction at that time, and they brought in these very tall, flexible poles, and on top of them they had some sort of a nylon wind socks or something from Walmart, and they came marching in and moving the poles, and then I believe they entered to a Bob Marley tune. Reggae. Now, you all aren't old enough to have been responsible for that, I don't think. That was in the 90s. But then anyway, so the Mass got a little bit wilder from then on, if you can believe it. So after Mass, I couldn't wait to go out into the gathering space and place myself strategically like a fly on the wall and just kind of listen to the students' reaction to this as they were filing out. And I thought, well, you know, young people, they probably like things like that. But I tell you, probably the most common reaction was, what in God's name was that? But anyway, very interesting, a very memorable evening. But something else that happened at that Mass, before Mass started, I actually got here very early, not characteristic of me. I got here very early. I was one of the first people to be here, and I was praying. And there were many, many people. I mean, the place was just full that particular night, of mostly students, of course. And as they came in, they were being, you know, very loud and talking and laughing and everything. And at first, I thought, gosh, you know, that's not very respectful, right? That's not respectful, making all this noise. But then, as I observed what was happening, I noticed that they weren't just laughing to be loud and make noise to be loud. But they were greeting one another. I remember, of course, the young ladies are more demonstrative than the guys. You know, we all know that. But they running up to, oh my gosh, Becky, oh, they go running up and, you know, hugging each other. And actually, that really changed my mind when I saw that. I thought, you know, that is very beautiful. Number one, to have young people actually coming to Mass on a Sunday night. And back then, it was even later. It was like at 9 o'clock or something. So first of all, you know, having college people coming to Mass, that's a beautiful thing. And number two, to be that excited and joyful to see each other at Mass. So completely changed my perspective on that. You know, how can that be a bad thing, coming to Mass and then actually being joyful to see one another at Mass? And, you know, when we greet people that we know and that we like and we're very familiar with, it's very easy to do that, isn't it? You know, we're excited to see our friends and people that we like and people that we feel comfortable around. You know, that's easy to do. It's also easy for us to want to do nice things for people that we like, to help them to maybe go the extra mile for people that we like, family members, maybe classmates and things like that. We enjoy going the extra mile for people like that. And maybe sometimes too, you know, if we have a little argument with our friends, we might, okay, no big deal, we're friends, you know, we'll get past it, right? But it's not so easy to want to do nice things for people maybe who are not necessarily our friends, you know? Or maybe it's not so easy to go the extra mile for someone that we don't really know that well. It's even more difficult to go the extra mile for people that we really don't particularly care for. And, you know, Jesus, of course, in his ministry, he gave us a lot of challenges. Now, some of the things that he asked us to do were not that difficult. For example, just really be joyful in the faith and practice the faith. You know, that's probably the easy part. But Jesus asked us to do some things. He gave us some challenges that are not as easy. In the gospel that we just heard proclaimed, he talks about going the extra mile. Because we have to understand, in Judaism, they dealt with strict justice, meaning that if you owe somebody something, you give them exactly what they're owed and nothing more, literally not a cent more, just what they're owed. Also, strict justice says that if somebody hurts you, especially back in that culture, somebody hurts you, you do the same thing back to them. You know, strict justice, you do exactly what they did to you. So here comes Jesus, you know, they come from their background of Judaism, and something very radical that was very confusing to them. He was telling them, okay, so you go the extra mile. You don't give somebody just what they're owed, you give them more. And if somebody even takes something from you, you actually give them more. That didn't make sense to those people. And something that he told them, probably the most difficult thing, even to this day, for us Christians, is if somebody hurts you, you actually forgive them. You actually forgive them. That's probably one of the most difficult things that we have to do as Christians. It was confusing to the Jews at the time, and it may be just as perplexing and difficult for us to do as well. But we might think that sometimes if somebody hurts us, especially someone who hurts us very deeply in our lives, causes a lot of harm and hurt to us or somebody in our family in particular, you know, how can I humanly forgive that person? And how can I pray for that person? Probably even more difficult than just forgiving. How can I pray for someone who has hurt me so bad? Well, I think if we try to do it on our own, I don't think we can. I really don't think we can. And it's one of those things where we need God's help to do that. Because Jesus gave us many, many challenges, but he never challenged us to do something that was impossible, especially with his help. As we getting into Lent here, beginning on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday already, we think about all these things that we want. Probably the most common question that we're asked this time of year is, you know, what are you giving up for Lent? And usually, it seems like the big ones, usually in the form of, I don't know, food or something, like caffeine, sugar, things like that, which I there's no way I'll give that up, I can tell you that. But in fact, when I was in the seminary, there were these two guys and classmates of mine in the seminary. They decided they were going to give up caffeine for Lent. Well, after 2 weeks of that, their behavior was not the most pleasant, being deprived of caffeine, and they were ordered by the faculty to go back on caffeine after 2 weeks in Advent to make the rest of our lives bearable there in the seminary. But usually we think about giving up things and food and all that. And, you know, it's important for us to really understand what is the point of giving something up. It's not just to give something up. There should be a point to it. Really get rid of something so that we can fill it up with something better. And also the things that we give up and replace with, you know, sometimes we got to realize the point of sacrifice. And sometimes I hear people say that, you know, this Lent, of course, I'm going to give up meat every Friday. Every Friday, give up meat, you know. I vow that every Friday, I will go to Red Lobster. What a sacrifice, you know. So we have to kind of understand the point of sacrifice. You know, Red Lobster, I don't know if it's I love the place, but I don't know that it's, you know, a great sacrifice during Lent. But, you know, sometimes maybe if instead of giving up things or food, if we give up things in our life, things that really do not help us, or maybe habits that really don't help us. This year at our parish here at Sacred Heart, I'm not trying to convert you all to Sacred Heart, I'm just saying, but, you know, workers in the office and also our liturgy committee, they came up with kind of a beautiful idea, a beautiful theme for Lent, and they said that why not fast, and there's a whole list of things that's on the back of our Lenten calendar, and why not fast, for example, from anger? Why not fast from anger toward other people? Why not fast from bitterness toward other people? Why not fast from having a grudge against people, to give that up? And also right next to each one of those are things that we should replace, kind of really reminding us why we're doing this. And instead of anger, why don't we replace it with good thoughts toward that person? Instead of mean words towards someone, why don't we replace it with kind words towards someone? Instead of holding a grudge, why not reconciliation toward those other people? And we'll find, too, it's actually, you know, we should do it for the other person and for God, because it's, in the end, it's better for us. As a faith community, that word is not really a term, faith community. We're supposed to be that way. We are all supposed to have a personal relationship with God, you know, between me and God, that's true. But we're also supposed to have a relationship with the community. That's why we all celebrate Mass together. If we have love of God, but yet we have hatred or anger toward people, we're missing half of the picture, right? Or the other way, if we're very kind to people and help people all the time, but we don't have a relationship with God, we're missing the other half. So we are a faith community, and that is what we are called to do. This time of Lent, I hope that we really reflect on this. And maybe one thing we can do this Lent is for each one of us to think of, you know, who is that person, or who are those people that I really do not like? Who is that person, who are those people that have really hurt me, or my family? And maybe with the strength of God and with a little humility on our part and openness and doing it together with God, then maybe this Lent would be a time for us to forgive that person who has hurt us so terribly, and also to pray for that person. And if we do that, then we will improve our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. This is the point of our faith community.